Good evening. I'm going to be in the book of James, James chapter 3. I thought that I would preach another message out of the James chapter 2. I thought that the Lord had given me another message out of James chapter 2. But the more I tried, God just kept directing me to James chapter 3 tonight. And so we're going to start into James chapter 3. It's a powerful, powerful chapter. I hope God gives me a couple of messages out of this chapter. And we're going to touch upon that tonight. So James chapter 3, we're going to read the whole chapter. But my text is James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Let's start in verse 1. It says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, a little member, and the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith we curse men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now again, it seems like James is transitioning to another topic, right? The tongue. Well, that's not what's going on here, and we'll see that. He is addressing issues, specific issues in this church, which I believe that are even that are applicable in each of our lives today. And we'll see how it ties back to even James 1 and James 2. The title of my message is "The Power of the Tongue." The power of the tongue. And I hope to convey the idea to refresh our awareness of how powerful the words we choose are, and the two very drastic ways that they can be used. Our words have amazing power to either build up or to tear down, to bring life or to bring death to the recipients of our words. We must take great care to think about how we will use our words and their effect on the hearers. That's one thing I always appreciated about Pastor Gossman, is that he never spoke anything hastily. He always... You could see him just thinking about how he was going to phrase what the next thing that he was going to say, or how he was thinking about what he was going to say. I always admired that in him and noticed that and appreciated that. And it's important that we think about the words that we say as well. Number one, the power of blessing. The power of blessing. And we see that in James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. We see that our words reflect our hearts. He talks about our hearts, and he says that even so, he talks about the tongue, and then he says that, He says, but, in verse 14, but if ye have bitter envying and strife, where? In your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. The heart is very important has a very important connection with the words that we speak out of our mouths. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So what we say really reflects what's in our hearts. Oh, that was just a slip of the tongue. Oh, I take that back. Well, okay. But you really just wanted to close the windows and pull down the blinds to that spot in your heart that you didn't want people to see and that actually, you know, escaped out. Our words can be used to either build up, to bring blessing, and to breathe life into someone. In fact, with some of us, God has even gifted us with the spiritual gift of being an encourager. I was talking with Pastor Mazzy the other week, and he was talking about how he loves to find people that he can encourage. God gives him insight. He helps him. He's given him the gift of being an encourager, being somebody that has an eye for seeing people that need a word of encouragement, that could use a word of encouragement, and God gives him the words to say that he can be an encouragement to that person. And God gives each of us spiritual gifts. It's important that we use those, but we don't have to have that spiritual gift to encourage someone either. We shouldn't use that as an excuse. But the power that God has given us through words is incredible. It really is. Words can be written down in a letter, and some of the most powerful... Think about the Declaration of Independence. One of the most powerful documents that has formed and shaped what our country is. Those words were penned, but they speak powerful, powerful truths that our country has lived by and has shaped our country up till recent years. It's been something that has been pushed away and pushed aside. But there is great power in words. And He has given us that power for a purpose. And if you study the Bible at any length, it reveals that purpose is not self-serving. It's not about us. He's given us the power of words to fulfill His purpose, which is to speak blessing, to breathe life into those whom we encounter and those who God brings across our paths. We accomplish that in many ways, such as witnessing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, that offers that others may know that Jesus offers eternal life to those who trust in Him. That is good news, or to encourage, to comfort those in need of such by speaking words of life to them. You know, Paul gave us passages of Scripture that talk about the second coming of Christ, that talk about the end times, that talk about the rapture. What does he end those passages with? What does he encourage the church to do? Wherefore, my brethren, what? Comfort one another with these words. Now, for the mid-tribulationist or the post-tribulationist, I'm not sure where they find their comfort in that. I'm not sure how they could read a passage like that and draw comfort from that. I wouldn't. If I thought that the Lord had already come and that I had to endure that I had to endure part or any of the tribulation, period. My heart would be very anxious and worried, and I wouldn't have any peace. I couldn't comfort somebody with those words, with that message. But the fact that Christ has not appointed us unto wrath because of His righteousness, because of us trusting in Him as our Savior from His wrath, we can draw comfort from that. We can offer comfort to others with those words. But Paul, following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he sensed their anxious and their uncertain hearts, and he spoke those words of truth concerning the rapture and the end times. And then knowing that there would definitely be Christians, other Christians that had those same fears, those same anxious thoughts, he admonished us to use these words of truth to comfort others' hearts, to comfort our hearts, as only God's Word can do. You know, in 1 Peter 4:11 it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles or the Word of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that in all things that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." It's interesting to me that it says, "If any man minister, let him do it to the ability which God giveth." It starts out here in verse 1 of James chapter 3, "My brethren, be not many masters or bishops or pastors, knowing that we shall receive," that we as pastors, we as teachers, "shall receive the greater condemnation." Now, what does that mean? That's talking about the greater responsibility. We have a greater responsibility because we're up here teaching you. We're responsible for the words that we use. We're responsible. We have a greater responsibility for what we teach you, for how we teach you, for how we rightly divide the word of truth. So he says it's not good that we should have many masters, too many masters. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body." But it says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the scriptures or the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it to the ability which God giveth, that God may be glorified." That God may be glorified. Do you think about that with your words? Is that what comes across your mind when somebody makes a jab at you? When somebody says something that really kind of makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up? "How am I going to glorify God with the next thing that I say? I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I do." No, boy, my flesh wants to leap out. And boy, what's something smart that I could come back with? That's what my flesh wants to do. But we're admonished here. Let us speak as the oracles of God. Let us speak from the wisdom of God's Word, the truth of God's Word. Now, we've gone over the power of blessing. And if you think that this is going to be a Joel Osteen message of empowerment and thinking, positive thoughts and positive words, you're absolutely wrong. No. We're not just going to love everybody and be proud of who they are and leave the rest up to God. Because we know that there's portions of Scripture where Jesus didn't speak the most pleasant of words to people. Isn't that right? We aren't just going to brush over that and say that, well, that was Jesus. He doesn't want us to talk like that. He just wants us to, you know, use good thoughts, you know, positive thoughts, and, you know, only words that we can encourage somebody with and uplift. Well, no. There are certain times, certain situations which necessitate using our tongues to speak words that are undesirable, words that are unpleasant to be received. Messages of truth that are sometimes hard to be received. But Before the amens start rolling in, because that feeds our ego. Yeah, yeah, I tell it like it is. No. No, let's take a step back. Because there is a drastic difference. A drastic difference between speaking rudely and speaking the truth in love. That's an important distinction to make. Because this passage isn't just saying that we ought to tiptoe around the tulips and, you know, only speak words that don't offend and that, you know, make people feel good about us and make people like us. No. Not ever. Because there are times when love says, I need to be honest with you about something. But how we say something is just as important as what we say. And that is what James is reminding us here. He says, you know, he says for in verse 2, for if in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same man is perfect. We're going to say words that are offensive sometimes. Even when we don't intend to. You know what? When you tell somebody that they're a sinner, that they deserve hell, that's pretty offensive. That's pretty offensive. And you're not going to make somebody's day by telling them that they're a sinner, that they're lost, that they aren't enough, that they aren't good enough to get into heaven. Are you going to really make somebody's day by, you know, make them feel good by saying those things? No, there's going to be people that are offended by that. So that's why he says, you know, in many things we offend all. And if any man offend not in word, the same man is perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Speaking the truth can either be like a bowl in a china shop, destroying everything in its path, or it can be spoken in a way that is well received. Just because it's true, just because it's something that needed to be said, doesn't mean that it will be said in a way that's truly helpful. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought beyond what the truth is and thought about, how am I going to present that in a way that is actually helpful and that isn't destructive, that doesn't destroy what I'm trying to do in telling them the truth? There's a way for the truth to be spoken in love, and it's important to stay humble. And Jesus was humble. He was meek. He was quiet in his spirit. But yet, being humble, being meek, having that quiet spirit, yet he was still able to speak the truth boldly to the hypocrites, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees. There's a way for the truth to be spoken in love. And in recognizing that I don't have the right to just say whatever I want. But rather to remember that I have the command to speak the truth in love, to minister grace unto the hearers. We certainly see places in Scripture where Jesus spoke things that might have been hurtful to hear. I mean, if somebody called you, said that you were a viper, that you were a dog, you know, I mean, that you were. Jesus said he didn't mince words with the Pharisees. I mean, He called them out for what they were. So then, but how did Jesus, who is love, God, who is love, also speak the truth in love? He always speaks what is necessary and needful. It's important to see that. And we do see that throughout Scripture. You know, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is the good to the use of edifying. There is a purpose behind that. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. So how do we accompany loving grace with truth? Well, 1 John 1:14 and 16 says, And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and what? Truth. Full of grace. Jesus came to us full of grace and truth. And of His fullness, it says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. We accompany loving grace with truth from His fullness. From His fullness. There's nothing in and of yourself that can accompany grace with truth. You're empty. We're lacking. But from His fullness, we can receive that grace accompanied with that truth. And when we saturate ourselves in His love, in His grace, in His truth, He then empowers us and fills us with wisdom and speaking the truth with love. So there's the power of blessing. Secondly, we see the power of curse. The power of cursing. Let me go back to our verses here. It says in verse 9, it says, therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So the power of cursing. You know, our words have the power to tear down, to curse, and to destroy someone. As Christians, we must not only be aware of what we say, but also to whom we say it. Have you ever considered the thought that because we are made in the image of God, that when we curse somebody, when we talk down to someone, when we tear somebody down with our words, that that is like cursing God? They are made in God's image. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about that with lustful thoughts? They're made in the image of God. Do you think about that when you think about somebody else? That God loves that person just as much as He loves me. That's a humbling thought. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, there's a story of a woman in England who came to her pastor with a troubled conscience. The pastor knew her to be a habitual gossip. She had maligned nearly everyone in the village. So she came to this pastor. She said, how can I make amends? The pastor said, if you want to make peace with your conscience, take a bag of goose feathers and drop one on the porch of each one that you have slandered. When she had done so, she came back to the pastor and said, is that all? He said, no. You must go now and gather up every feather and bring them all back to me. After a while, the woman returned without a single feather. The wind has blown them all away, she said. My good woman, said the minister, so it is with gossip. Unkind words are easily dropped, but we can never take them back again. It's important for us to remember the truth of those words, the truth of that story, the truth that of the power that our words have. When we speak words, especially without thinking before we say those words, can't take them back. Those words have an effect on the lives of those that we speak them to. So we see the power of cursing. Thirdly, we see the power of every idle word. Every idle word. In Matthew 12, 36, let me turn to that. Matthew 12, 36. It says, Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Every idle word. Have you ever said the phrase like, well, I was just kidding. It was just a joke. It was just this. It was just a little white lie. It was just a prank. Every idle word. James 2, verses 12 and 13 says, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For he who has shown no mercy will have judgment without mercy. For mercy triumphs over judgment. So you wonder, how does this third chapter coincide with the rest of these other two books of James? Well, he's talking about how are you talking to each other amidst difficult situations, amidst having new people come in that you may not really be attracted to. How are you speaking to them? What kind of words are you using to lift them up, to show them the love of Christ? Every idle word. He says, how you speak and what you do will be reflected in the judgment. James isn't changing subjects here, but rather addressing very specific issues in the church, and certainly is applicable in each of our lives. So how do you speak? How do you speak to somebody? Do you think about what you say? Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We have been given great power with our tongues. And we will be judged for how we use every single word. How will you use your words? To breathe life to somebody? To build up? To minister grace unto the hearer? To speak the truth in love? Or to bring death, to tear down, to curse them? Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this book of James, for this chapter in which I myself have been challenged as I've spoken hastily to my kids before, as I've spoken hastily to my wife before, as I've spoken hastily to somebody that irritated me or agitated me. But, oh God, that's not the way that you would have for us to speak to one another. If we're to be known as Christians by the love that we have for one another, oh God, that certainly applies to our conversation and the words that we choose with one another. Even when we have to speak the truth, the hard truth to somebody, that we do it in a way that is loving, full of grace and truth. God, help us. We confess our dependency upon you. We confess our need of your help in this area of our lives. Help us, God. Bridle our tongues. Keep the door, the gate of our mouths, of our tongues, that we may not just speak blatantly without thought, but that we may think about and pray about the words that we would use. They may be received well by those who hear us. Help us, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn in your hymn books to hymn number 160, Channels Only. 160, and please stand. follow up with that message. The words to this are just exactly the prayer that should be from our hearts. And I hope that they weren't just words that you were saying, but actually from your hearts praying unto the Lord that He would fill you full of His grace and truth. He's the only one that can. Will you go forth tonight speaking grace and truth to somebody today? Will you encourage somebody? Will you lift somebody up? Will you speak life with the power that God has given you? I challenge you today as He has challenged me. Go forth tonight. May God bless you.